Welcome to the Mandalorian Podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial podcast for the Outer Rim. My name is Matt, and joining me in the co-pilot seat is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. The Mandalorian Podcast by Fantastic Geek here today to talk as the show ramps up. Now critics have seen the first half hour of the pilot that we will all see on November 12th.
Indeed, Pete. It appears to be a rather spare marketing effort. I'm not trying to say that it's dangerously small, but I kind of feel like The Mandalorian has yet to explode in the consciousness. Still about a month away. Also, too, I think wrapped in is general Disney Plus awareness. The app has yet to drop anywhere, et cetera, et cetera. But kind of slightly weird, you know. We were just talking Watchmen a little while ago. Critics got to see the first six episodes in the week before the show started. Here we are a month before Mandalorian. Critics have yet to see a complete episode.
And that the dates came out the other day that they're actually going to give us two episodes that first week. And then they're steering clear of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker's date, obviously. Deference to the film side, everything like that. I mean, ideally, Disney doesn't launch its Star Wars show on its streamer in a movie season, in a movie time. It just happens to be the way that it worked out. But doing everything they can to make it its own thing, so there's not the confusion that spread from Last Jedi into Solo, Star Wars Story. Why is Rey with a younger Han?
Oh, I agree with you. In a perfect world, there wouldn't be that overlap. Flip side is this. Time to turn lemons into lemonade. I guarantee you when we are sitting in Rise of Skywalker at the Thursday night preview show on December 19th, having watched the first 7 of 8 episodes of The Mandalorian, I guarantee you there's going to be a 2.5 minute preview for the Mandalorian finale, probably with text like, and I'll crib slightly from the Dark Crystal here, but you know, like, in another time, 5 years after the Death Star, or the Empire is, whatever it is, they're going to hammer, they're going to get, those of us who are excited about it, we're going to get excited. And for people who don't know that it's a thing, for people who don't know that you can leave the theater in 2.5 hours time, sign up for Disney Plus, watch 7 more hours. It might be slightly less than an hour, but you get what I'm saying. 7 more hours of Star Wars, then get psyched for the season finale a week later. That is what they're going for. And to me, that, you know, there's your lemons into lemonade, where if you haven't heard the message, Star Wars fans, go watch more Star Wars now on Disney Plus.
And this, as production seems to be ramping up on season two, Matt, there's news today that Carl Weathers is going to direct an episode of season two.
I just hope that he high five, handshake, whatever is the way he did in Predator. He better do that with every person on the crew. To stick with those dates for a second, I think a couple of takeaways there that certainly surprised me. First of all, no surprise that the season premiere, series premiere, is November 12th, Disney Plus launch day. The notion that we then get another episode, you know, that's a Tuesday, get an episode on the Friday. I didn't see that coming. We had penciled in, it starts on a Tuesday, therefore, it'll be on Tuesdays. I think it's smart to have it on Fridays because then, Pete, people can watch it over the weekend. And it's kind of, there's a little bit more of that, you know, like, hey, it's Friday. No, I didn't. You watched it this morning as you brushed your teeth. Don't tell me anything about it. I'm watching it when I get home, as the weekend hits, as opposed to it's my Tuesday night show.
So when it drops on 11:38 a.m. on Fridays or whatever cutesy time they can come up with to build that buzz on a Friday, I think that's the way to go. I think, you know, that we're this far into Star Wars, that we're 42 years into Star Wars, and God knows how many millions of Rick McCallum live-action TV scripts, and finally getting our live-action Star Wars TV show. and from what everybody's seen, they've really, really dug it. To think that you could do something as mundane as put it on a Tuesday night. No, it's not about that. This is appointment television as much as you can for a streaming era that we're in now. And, you know, Star Wars Saturdays, talking it up, you know, whether it's the water cooler, you know, the following Monday. Oh my God, the Ugnaught did this. And the droid that you had the action figure of from Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, murdering people and voiced by Taika Waititi and everything else. I mean, this show, I think they're hitting all the notes, the beats they've needed to. Granted, we've seen so little, but there hasn't been a misstep.
Well, Pete, let's talk logistics for that first week of the show. Obviously, with the Tuesday premiere, I guess Thursday would be a logical time to podcast that, give people a little time to watch it, time to digest, get their thoughts in, etc. So we'll aim for that Thursday for 101, and then from there, basically sticking with Star Wars Saturdays. Pete, even for that episode 107 on December 18th, that comes out before Rise of Skywalker, I think we'll just stick with Star Wars Saturdays. It seems to rolls off the tongue.
The thing we don't want to do is give the discussion about this short shrift and also compact. Whereas, yeah, could we do the first two episodes in our first podcast? We could. I think there's going to be so much to look at. Even when you consider how little dialogue we've seen, and, you know, the way it's described as a Western and everything else, I imagine the show to have not a lot of talking. There'll be talky parts, but this is going to be done at a different type of pace. Everything we've seen looks at this gunslinger aspect of Pedro Pascal's character, and we haven't even seen if he has a face, Matt. He could be a robot under there.
Yeah, they've certainly pushed that sense of mystery. And I guess that's also a way to kind of circle back to the marketing or lack thereof. I fully expect there just to be an onslaught blitz. You kind of see it to a certain degree on social media, but I think there's going to be this delineation point where it's going to be, you know, maybe less about everything that you've ever loved, do love, and will love on Disney Plus. The carousel from Mad Men, which now brings you backward and forward in life, that is Disney Plus. And there's going to be separation from that to, hey, there's a really great Star Wars show that you can watch with kids who would go see a PG-13 Star Wars movie. Watch out for guy who may or may not have his head cut off in the circular door thingy. But it'll probably be off screen. Don't worry. Watch with the kids. But I feel like I'm anticipating more buzz. Pete, I would not guarantee that we get to hear the Mandalorian speak before November 12th.
The cast is just so unusual that Pascal was the pick for the titular character. You can see why. This was somebody who on Game of Thrones, and he's on Netflix's drug Narcos. War show, right?
Narcos, yes, yeah.
You know, carved out, understandably, you know, more screen time with his acting. But, you know, Gina Carino and Carl Weathers, and then the droid, and the Nick Nolte character that I'm outrageously excited about. And those are the ones we know about. There's another actor from Game of Thrones that, if you're really eagle-eyed with that other trailer to look for, is going to have a role. And
is it one of the dragons, Pete? You can tell me now. Is it one of the dragons?
It is one of the dragons, Matt. It is one of the dragons. Is actually a stormtrooper. In the post Empire world, so there you go.
The waning Empire had to open up stormtrooper applications from the basic human to Now dragons can apply.
Yes. Rhaegar is the first ever non-humanoid stormtrooper. you heard it on the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek first.
But joking aside here, I mean, I feel like, Pete, there's days, and, you know, we're looking ahead to November and December, Watchmen, continuing with Godfriend and Me, got some more Star Trek short treks coming, looking ahead to Picard in January, Runaways. There's days where I'm like, I love The Mandalorian most, you know, I've seen no more of it than anyone else in terms of the, just the preview and whatnot, but it's like, the potential here is through the roof, and it's super exciting, and I just wish it was November 12th.
The expectations, I think, are rightfully there, that they're making this the keystone, the keynote for Disney Plus. Tells you what they know they have.
I think too, Pete, a huge trial balloon, not just for, you know, Disney Plus and live action and blah blah blah, but, you know, I think there's a feeling, let's say in the business community, there's a feeling, what exactly is the future of Star Wars? We were expecting nerds camped out at Hollywood Studios for 3 days ahead so that they could get their picture taken with Kylo Ren, and now that's not happening. And, you know, maybe some of that park's anticipation was through the roof, and maybe some of the sad sop, you know, oh, my Last Jedi prediction wasn't right. Now I, you know, hurt forever, you know.
I mean, let's pretend to sneeze at the crowds they've had for that. And in Disney World, they did have people up at 2 a.m. to get into the park at 8 a.m. It's not exactly complete. The big ride comes in December and is, by all descriptions, a game changer. So, you know, we continue to hear this. I think you put it perfectly. This sad sop, you know, my Star Wars story didn't happen the way it should have. Childhood ruined. Bring George back to make the prequels for me again.
But I think in terms of what is the optimal mix for Star Wars in the next decade, is it, you know, is it going to be a movie every other year ad infinitum? Is it going to be, you know, which clearly they've backed off on that plan a little bit, but is it going to be, you know, a movie every 4 years, but there's can't miss TV shows that are populating Disney Plus and perhaps other areas. Mandalorian is a huge test for that as well in terms of the future of Star Wars. Not that I'm buying into the wilting nature of Star Wars, but just what does any of this look like in 20 years from now? I mean, plenty of jobs in TV that there weren't 15 years ago, courtesy of Netflix and then the other streamers. Do we have big movie franchises going that way as well? To what degree is it? A lot of question marks there. And my goodness, if Star Wars isn't going to help answer that, I don't know what will.
The nature of theaters have changed so much and begun the streaming wars have, that Netflix has major movies. You look at El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. You look at The Irishman coming at the end of November. Beyond what happened last year with Roma, or even 2 years ago with Bright on Netflix, this is going to be even more of a thing. But again, why tell a 2 hour story when you can tell an 8 hour story, when you can do a 10 hour story? And between Star Wars, between Marvel, all these opportunities that they have with the ridiculous amount of content that Disney owns, and to kick it off in such a way, I think Star Wars is just as healthy as ever. Let's not forget that The Force Awakens is the highest grossing domestic film of all time. They will be just fine with The Rise of Skywalker. Your boycotts, one, will be disorganized, and two, will be ineffective. And Mandalorian, the Cassian Andor show, the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, all these other opportunities that are going to come down the pipeline and be able to tell them in such a way that this is what is now, you know, Netflix, Disney Plus, every other streamer that's either existence or, you know, trying to get off the air, or onto the air, I should say, before they wind up contracting and, you know, eating each other up.
Well, I know that we are really looking forward not just to podcasting The Mandalorian, but to hearing people's anticipations, people's hopes, their dreams, their reactions to each episode, and we will certainly give our contact info shortly. But Pete, all of this made possible by the people who support us on Patreon, particularly. There's this 6-week window from when Mandalorian starts to when basically when our Mandalorian podcast will end, which will be right towards the end of the year. In terms of our season wrap-up, where we're going to be super, super busy, and it'll be on the backs of those people who do support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. Just takes a dollar to get you in that door. And if a quarter a week is what you can scrape together, help us out, help us afford all this bandwidth we're going to need as this comes to a head between The Mandalorian, between Watchmen on HBO, God Friended Me, we do with CBS, the short treks for Star Trek, and then Picard coming in January, and let's not forget the OG now, Matt, with Marvel's Runaways third season dropping in December. So yeah, we're going to need help.
And certainly that help, so appreciated. Pete, how can people talk to you on Twitter? Maybe a little bit less so about Patreon, although that discussion is always wonderful. How can they talk to you about Star Wars and The Mandalorian on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 10,696 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with a PH, all one word, like it today.
Pete, I know that we will talk more about The Mandalorian as we get closer to that November 12th date. Who knows? Could be tomorrow, could be a week from now when more information happens, another trailer, whatever it might be. But we certainly are keeping a weather eye towards that. For now, though, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Stream on.